In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Happy Foot, Sad Foot, El Tráfico Edition. I'm your host, Darren Miller. Joined with me is Vince LaRosa and Travis Helwig and special guest, Andrew Ford. That was a real pleasant match to watch, guys. For maybe not all of it, but wow, it's real nice to get a win. This team refusing to let us give up on them. This is going to be a party. We've already got lots going on in the chat, a lot going on in the Patreon live chat during the match. That was really fun. Any first impressions? How do you guys want to start this thing off? There's a lot to talk about.
Vince, why did we win? We're used to losing games, and I'm curious, why did we win this one?
Because they scored goals.
Like, whoa. The smartest man on the podcast.
I had the same answer as Vince. Yeah,
they scored goals. They did. They took advantage. What was funny was until the third goal, the obvious giveaway, like the Galaxy literally were trying to hand them as many chances to score. Like the two goals that they had before, they actually were well worked, which is nice. It's good to see that LAFC can actually like put an attack together and look really competent in doing it. But I was a little worried when I was like, wait, how many more mistakes are they going to make? And we're not going to capitalize. And then it was 2-2. And then finally 3-2 takes care of it. Another mistake, I would say not really a huge mistake, but like they've kind of just tried to force it in there. And then Chiellini clears it out and then they go down and make it 4-2. But yeah, it was like all the things you wanted in this match from LAFC. Obviously there was still the howler of the second goal, but you know, in my notes, when it was 3-2, I wrote like, how do they finish this out? And that's all that mattered. I think in this game, you knew the Galaxy were going to push. They were going to push extra hard because of who it's against. So the fact that it's back and forth, take what you want from it. I don't really care all that much as long as you win the game in this sort of circumstance.
Yeah. I mean, I will say the vibe in the stadium was incredible. 3252 TIFO was great. You have to say it off the bat. Giving everyone pieces of cardboard, maybe not the smartest idea
that
stadium has ever had. But I mean, like, aside from maybe like 20 minutes at the beginning of the second half, I felt good about the way we were playing. We looked fun. We looked creative. We looked like we wanted it. And I just want to say, Kike Oliveira is ready to start for this team. He looked fucking great. I don't know if people were saying anything different on TV, but in the stadium, he seemed like a smarter Opoku out there. He seemed like a slightly more talented Ordaz out there. And when he was gone, while we did still score two more, it felt a little bit less exciting up front than when we had Kike. So that's my first happy foot, is Kike starting. Andrew, did you enjoy your time at El Tráfico?
I had an incredible time. It felt like... Did it seem this way on TV? Like the first goal that Galaxy scored, LAFC didn't realize the game had started again.
Kind of.
It just felt like everyone in the stadium was still celebrating.
We were
and,
still
like,
saying the name Belonga.
Yes, and they scored and everyone like could not believe it. But my favorite part was absolutely the paper airplanes because people were throwing them. And then at one point, they put up a sign that said, throwing them will get you arrested. And then way more people started throwing them. So I really like that.
Classic.
It's the Streisand effect.
Yes. But LAFC looked, I thought they looked good. Like their offense looked really good. Their attack looked good. All their chances, I was like, this is the best I've seen them attack in any game I've been to in person.
Now, normally we wouldn't let a guest on this quickly, but we fucked over LAFC Luke last time I was at a game. He waited for a long time. We didn't put him on. I'd like to bring him on right away.
Because let's do it. It's been a long time.
How are you? I have no voice.
Good.
Hi. Am I breaking up?
A little bit. How was the 32-52?
I sit on the other side. I was screaming my head off. Especially at Penso. I think he may be the worst referee in MLS.
Was it as bad on TV as it felt in the stadium? The number of calls?
Yes. It was bad. It was very bad.
Terrible. Yeah, and the second Galaxy goal came after they got a corner kick that was right in front of us that was clearly should have been a goal kick. Should have been our goal kick. They called a corner and I was like, I'm over this. And then 5 seconds later they scored.
Did the Galaxy get a single yellow that game?
They got two, I think.
Two? Quavos got one. That's why 11? He had to come out.
We had 11?
Five.
Five? Yeah, so 11, basically.
Yeah, which is a lot. But that's, I mean, Penso, I mean, he could be the worst. It's hard to tell with these guys. They're literally, like, all the same. Just, like, same guy, rinse and repeat, and they all make the same bad mistakes in terms of, like, this one's a yellow, that one's not. It's the same thing, but I don't want to give it. Okay, wait. I want to give a yellow again. I'm just surprised that no one ended up being red carded. I will say, Cheeky, calm down. Like, seriously, just relax a little bit. He was really close to getting a second yellow and probably should have deserved one.
Luke, any happy or sad foots in case we lose you?
Yes. So my happy foot is Galaxy passing it back to Belonga for our third goal. That's my happy foot. And my sad foot is all of those paper airplanes that people were throwing onto the freaking field.
I got to say, someone has already said that.
Half of those landed on people's heads.
I did come, one came within inches of my head, I will say that.
Too close to 9/11, guys. We can't be doing stuff like that.
It was embarrassing. I think my whatever your neutral foot is, I didn't know whether to think this was funny or stupid, was the Galaxy fans letting off their smoke bomb after we scored a goal or something. Like, yeah, the stadium
weird.
Filled with smoke after we scored a goal. I was like, all right, you idiots.
That's weird.
It also looked like...
I have no signal, apparently.
It's working. No, you're still good.
When their fireworks were going off, it looked as if they were hiding it behind a seat. Like, it looked dangerous what they were doing.
There was a lot of actual fire.
All right, Luke, we're losing you a little bit, but thanks so much for always calling. We love you. Please come back every game.
Now it's a commitment.
Yeah, sorry, my signal sucks. Bye.
We love you.
Nice, see ya. All right, LAFC Luke. So, I've got a lot in the happy foot column that we could get into.
Let's do it.
I also wanted to shout out 3252. They do not miss. This was beautiful. Not only the FIFA, but they brought it as expected. Most consistent player on the team. Mm-hmm. I agree, Oliveira, like, he was looking fast. He was looking fresh. He was pickpocketing left and right. I think, to me, the big happy foot story is Belonga was pass first. It was like an apology game until it was a redemption game.
I tweeted, it was like,
I am going to get an assist.
He wanted an assist so bad, and then he ended up scoring a brace.
But he was also, the other thing I noticed was he was playing a little more defensively minded than he normally does. He was pickpocketing people too. He was playing the kind of game that had him in rhythm for that last goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it felt like he was playing a certain way that made that instinct. And I it was exactly the game we needed from him. And he completely delivered when that was a question mark. So that was my big happy foot. And then Chiellini, the last goal, Chiellini, that setup was beautiful. The pass from Gonzalez was timed perfectly. He waited just to the right moment. And then Tillman, I could have thrown it all the way and he delivered. It was all like, okay, reason to screw this up, but you could screw this. Like, everyone was on point. It was just a really nice team goal. That's what I got. Oh, also, Puja's free kick sailing over the net is another happy foot of mine.
I feel like I'm going to pull a Jeff talk here, but the people in the chat need to like just relax on Stipe. Like, dude, the guy came in as like a fresh legs guy in a game that was like super scattered, and he was just in there to finish off the game. He did his job. Like, give him a break.
I was not sure about those subs, and then we scored two goals after the subs. So it's like,
yeah, I mean, I think you have to say a happy foot has to be Steve Tarundolo, right? Like every decision he made, and he made some big decisions, right? So he brings in Maxime Crépeau, and we talked about this. We're like, is this time to bring in Maxime Crépeau? And it seemed, yes, the one of the perfect times to do it. But at the same time, you know, we were worried. And why wouldn't you be? I mean, it's the biggest, well, probably the biggest game of the year.
He looked nervy out there.
He hadn't played in 300 and some odd days. And it just goes to show you he made a mistake, not quite as bad, but on that corner towards the end, almost as bad as John did, didn't get punished. So it just goes to show you how fickle these things can be. But also having Kike start over Mario, definitely a right call. I agree with you guys. Kike would be one of my happy foots. Just honestly, he played well, but it was the fact that the guy is clearly fast. He's got this like extra gear, but it seemed like now he's so embedded in the system that it's second nature. He's not thinking about things anymore. You can tell he's just playing, and that's really good to see, because sometimes we get really talented players and you can tell their brain is working. Like, you can see the gears moving, stuff like that. But then, yeah, Steve, the subs worked out. So I really have to give Steve Tarundolo credit. And to Darren's point, beyond that, if you want to get like nerdy about it, you have Bwanga and Kike playing more defensively, and you're correct. They really had them dropping back, and Mo Adu said it on the broadcast. It almost looked like a 4-4-2. And it was an adjustment, because I think not just the goal, which was when they weren't paying attention, but there was times when the Galaxy just had a little bit too much space going side to side in midfield. So you drop your wingers back in order to get a little more coverage. And that really stifled the Galaxy to the point where Ricky Pooj is on the ball, but he's on the ball with five guys ahead of him. You know what I mean? So like, he can't really affect the game. I mean, he still found ways to get in there, but he was not as effective when they made that change. So that was, again, another Steve, like that's a Steve masterclass. For anyone that wants to say like, oh, he might be tactically inept or things like that, those are actual tactics. A lot of times when people say stuff about Steve, it's just like, no, that's the way the game goes, or that's the way something happens. That was an actual change that you could say it was a glaring change in a tactic, and it worked.
How much did Steve Venmo you to support him so much on this podcast?
It's never enough. I'll tell you that much.
I will say something that, like, you know, we've been very hard on the team and we just played a very good game. This is our, I think, 42nd game of the season. And when we won the MLS Cup, we had played 40 that game or that season. So, like, it's worth saying again, this has been a really difficult season for us. Obviously, League's Cup and the long Champions League run. This has been rough. But, you know, you remember Jim Curtin after we beat them in the Champions League saying we're the best MLS team in history. I am not going to say that, because I also said this week, maybe we'll never win a game again. So all I'll say is I don't know anything about soccer. And I think that's worth everyone here knowing. If you listen to this podcast, I'm sure
Vince
you
is the one to
that.
Listen to.
You know, what's funny is whenever people talk to me and ask me like, oh yeah, what are Travis and Darren? Like, I'm like, guys, tactical geniuses. Like, they're just characters. They're amazing actors. We've been making all this up.
It's so hard to hide.
This was the plan. This was part of the agreement. I was like, guys, I get it. You guys know a lot, but I'm going to need you to just be as stupid as possible, because it's going to make me seem great. Right. And you guys, I have to, you know what? That's a happy foot for me. You guys have just done with flying colors. I mean,
thank you.
Honestly, thank you to so levels much. That I didn't even think were possible. You
don't
guys
tell
so
Sagan.
Dumb about soccer that you guys just, it's not even method acting anymore. I don't even know what it is. It's just, it's a whole nother level. And
I did my research. I did a lot of studying. I do a lot of prep work every week. I just figure out how to be as dumb as possible. So I appreciate that, because I don't feel like
Meisner, right? Is that the?
Yeah. I have a private teacher come and, you know, rehearse with me and everything. So this is, I'm really just glad to see that the hard work is paying off there.
Another happy foot I want to say, and I don't know if you could tell on the broadcast if he was hurt badly or not, but Hollingshead's unbelievable goal like
incredible.
Was so beautiful from the stadium. None of us thought that was gonna hit the net. Not what you expect from Hollingshead this season, but he's looked good since
he's fully back. I'm gonna say it.
He's got four goals now. So he had six last year. So he actually is kind of back to being that high scoring.
When we have six games left, he can match it.
He's strung a handful of games together now that are like so much better and different than that other string of games that where we kind of called out like he's looking. I don't know what it is, but something.
Could you tell how much like more incisive and better the team was in possession with Hollingshead versus when he didn't play against Portland? Like, right? Like, even you guys, as we've established, soccer idiots, you guys could tell that the team was like, it's just different. He's a special player as a fullback and does things that not a lot of fullbacks can.
Chiellini too, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Chiellini has a passing range that almost no center back does. But the flip side of that is, unfortunately, if there's no Chiellini, there's no passing from our center backs. We've established that as well.
Yeah. There was a moment where Aaron Long had the ball and I could see all of the members in the Galaxy just back up. They were like, all right, give us your best pass, buddy.
Yeah.
Do we go there on this one? Do we have the Aaron Long conversation or should we just skip it?
Talk's too scared to call in. Michael KB says, we need to hear from an experienced goalkeeper, Travis. What was Crapo feeling after such a long recovery? As we established last time Andrew was on the pod, Andrew was my backup goalie.
That's true.
So we trained together. We did a lot of work together.
Kicking the ball and stuff.
And I will say, I've been there, Max. I know what it's like to make those sort of nervy, you know, you're not so sure of yourself. I think he'll be fine. And like, I'm happy to talk to him if he needs to hear from me. I am happy to talk to him. Let's talk about Max for a second. He did look shaky, right? Like there were moments he didn't get challenged that many times. And there were a couple of moments where I was like, oh, he's a little bit nervous for this match, especially coming off his line, which is how he shattered his leg into a million pieces. So I get it.
Can you blame him?
Yeah, but sure. You just got to hope that getting past this and not doing anything too dumb will help him get. I mean, what do you think? Does he start? We have two games this week. What happens? Does he keep starting?
Yeah, I think you just let it roll. Two moments where he, and it was in a crowded field, and normally Max, that's what you love him for, right? He's like steady hands in crowds. That's the kind of the level above with him compared to John. He was really good with his feet though. That's where I would have thought he would have been most nervous. There was a time where I can't remember who it was, but somebody sent like a 30-yard ball back to him and he had to switch feet and then play it with his left foot. Like he was nails in that regard. So I mean, nervous maybe he was, but I just think you know, he was just reading situations and he was a little shaky.
He whiffed on one and then I think he was a little bit out of position on the second goal.
But how much did, you know, his feet, like it gets overblown because obviously the number one thing you want your goalkeeper to do is save goals. I don't care who says like, oh, he's so good with his feet. Yeah, well, if he doesn't save goals, who cares? But he really didn't have much to do other than keep the game flowing with his feet, and he did that. I would say that was like an A+ for me, at least in that regard.
Andrew, what do you think Max could learn from me?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I remember you slide tackling a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Do you think he could do that?
Yeah, that's how he shattered his leg. I need to do more of that.
Yeah, I will say, Max, he didn't stop any shots, right? Because there were two shots on goals and two goals. So
somewhere he can improve then. Going.
That could be better.
Could only get better, yeah. We do have another guest, LAX Andy. Joining the show safely away from the stadium dead zone. I think we don't know
far Welcome enough. The show. Far enough. I got section 213 up in the house.
Let's go.
First of all, fuck Jeff Talk.
Whoa.
Fuck Jeff Talk.
Whoa.
Wow.
There's like a huge delay here. I'm like messed up. Look, the sound's weird. So I'm gonna bounce in a second. Just had to say this is the fun game I've had all season. The energy at the stadium was amazing. Season is not over. Took care of the Galaxy tonight. Love you guys all. Fuck Jeff Talk. Have a good night.
All right. Thanks for joining the show, as always.
We want everyone, when they call, to end the call with fuck Jeff Talk. A nice man who plays a role on the show.
Right. Wait, can we talk about the amount of people that keep saying like the season's not over? What did you guys do? Did you really convince people that this, like the team is still in third place? Like the season was never gonna be over.
This is an emotional podcast,
I guess. Well, it's like I think
that was Jeff's point of view in the last post game. Was give up.
It was.
Let's give up on the team.
I think we said this when all of us were talking about something completely different, just to pull the curtain back. We have little meetings, the three of us. We do. We have like full-fledged meetings where we plan and strategize.
We're a business.
It's us and our investors.
Yeah.
We have a board of advisors. And we have a lot of people.
We have to figure out how to split $5 three ways. It takes a long time.
It's not even.
But one thing that I did say in reference to what Jeff said and what a lot of people are saying is like, when you tell me like, hey, we're not going to win MLS Cup, you're not a genius. Okay. Only one team wins MLS Cup. You're probably right, which is fine. I'll give you that. But come on. Like, let's stop with the doom and gloom a little much. Yes, LAFC has problems. Yes, they're not as good as last year, but I don't understand the coping by being like, well, we suck. We're just, it's over. We're done. Like, just calm down a little bit. I had to go on a little rant there because
it was a rough three game. If we didn't win this game, I think there would have been despair. With even a tie in this game, there would have been a real Jeff Tog in the comments saying, I am a genius. I mean, again, Aaron Long is the cause of one of those goals.
Jeff wants me to add him. Yes, what I did say was you, Jeff, but it's not just you. It's a lot of people literally saying the same thing. Like, we're never going to win again. I think that's a Travis line. And then even people just like, you know, I go play soccer on Thursday night with some buddies and they're just like, so like, we suck, right? I'm like, what? No. Like, it's still one of the most talented teams in the league.
Okay, so here's where we are in the table, and it's a tight table. I just want to say, it's a tight table.
It's a tight table. It's a very tight table.
Vince, have you noticed it's a tight table?
It's my favorite thing in the world. It's tight table.
It's a tight table.
The tight table.
Listen, you don't want to end up at a tight table.
Andrew, it's a tight table.
I think it's – I've been hearing from some people that it's a tight table.
It is. It's indeed a tight table.
So as of tonight, we have a game in hand on St. Louis City, who we play on Wednesday. I think, Darren, we're doing a live stream with LAFC. We haven't yet confirmed with them. A live watch-along for that. Vince, you're not invited. I don't know why.
People are talking to their people. There's a lot of people involved, as usual, of course. I don't know. I don't know the details.
I think we just have to respond to their email, I'm realizing.
Whoa.
Yeah, it might be one of those things where, like, I'm part of, like, a different – you guys are, like, DC, I'm the Marvel Universe or something.
Yeah. We're
Sony. I don't know. There's just a lot of weird stuff you got to get.
So, we have a game in hand on St. Louis City who's in first place. They have 49 points. We have 43. It is still, if we win the game against St. Louis, possible for us to come in first. I will say, behind us, it's a tight table. Seattle – we have a game in hand on Seattle right behind us at 42. Vancouver, who leapfrogged us for a little bit today, is at 27 games. They have a game in hand on us and are only at, they're 2 points below us at 41. We're at 43, 41. So Vancouver, there's a real chance that they could leapfrog us if they do well for the rest of the season. And then Houston's at 40, Salt Lake's at 40, San Jose's at 40. So that's a lot of people within 3 points of us if we don't play well in September, and we know we have a rough stretch of games coming up.
Last game of the season is at Vancouver as well.
That's true. That's true. Darren and I are at a wedding that night.
It's true. That's also true. I don't know what we're going to do. That was everyone's favorite segment when we read from a phone numbers. So we also we have another guest, a few guests joining us.
Oh no!
It's Joey AF,
Joey AF, and Danny Two-Nips. We can't see anything.
What's happening now is the only thing that could happen when they join forces and join at the same time. Which is
there a reveal?
A black square.
No, they're gone. And also, we just lost another guest. I think Wi-Fi's down because
at the stadium. Oh well, let's try to add them again. Here we go. Joey. Okay, yeah, we've got Joey.
Can we get a hard line here,
Joey? Joey and Danny, how you doing?
Yeah, we got the fucking car play. Hardline is a good call right there. 4-2, baby. 4-4 goals.
That's right. We doubled their
fucking score. My only sad foot is I didn't bring a brace with me to celebrate Denis Bouanga. But, you know, boing, boing, motherfuckers. Let's go.
Boing, boing. Boing, boing.
Boing, boing. I wish little buddy Fufu had gotten on the tally. Danny, any happy foots, sad foots?
Sad foot, Denny Bouanga got a brace, which is a performance that deserves top of the Golden Boot race.
Yeah.
But he's currently tied. with Giacomacchi.
It'll heat up. Yeah. It'll heat up.
Yeah. That Giacomacchi's, though, quite a pace.
Yeah, he's been playing great.
Great dessert. Oh, it's a person? My bad.
We need to do another edition.
We talked about the character stuff. We're the funny ones.
That was too. That was too dumb.
Any other happy foots or sad foots from our guests who are have no shirts on?
Oh, Berea! I finally had my Berea taco, and they recognized me. Oh, like, oh wow. You wanted a taco, and my brother got the last taco from the Berea stand. So
that's unbelievable. Okay. I really was missing them. Maybe that's my biggest sad foot is that I couldn't go to the game, so I really was missing them. My new best friend.
Oh yeah, athlete's foot too is they do have the best beef Berea. But, oh, Danny has another happy foot.
Right. Okay, my happy foot is this. Snakes don't have ankles. And yet, Raheem Edwards got his ankles broken by Danny Belonga and Christian Oliveira multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. All right, we're going to leave you on that mic drop. Thank you for joining us.
Carly Ann, thanks for showing your nipples, as always, whenever we score four goals.
Wow.
For those of you who haven't watched before, anytime we score four goals, we get to see four nips, and that's what we just got to see.
That was it. We just posted the link to join us to everybody. I failed to type anything other than the URL, so that's what that is. If you see a random URL, come join us on the show. You can be on the show.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, Jeff Tuck is doing the most heel thing I've ever seen him do. He just hid his camera. Jeff, I saw what you were doing. You're fucking driving, which you know you're not supposed to do when you call in.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I know, but that's like, it's like one of those things where you're like, you know, you're not supposed to walk and chew gum at the same time, but everybody does it. You know what I mean?
I'll just say, for the record, we don't approve. Please don't drive. If you call in, do not be calling in while driving. Jeff,
anything to say for yourself? Here's the thing. I have these friends that have a place to podcast right after the show, but I never get the invite. So I have to do it on the fucking, I'm driving, Travis. That's how I feel about that.
Wow.
Spectacular.
You have friends?
We're the friends. I think we're the friends.
I have two guys I do a podcast with occasionally. Yeah, they're great. Apparently they think they're funny too. Anyway, listen, are you just going to bust my balls the whole time? I'm distracted. I have other stuff going on. I don't have my full wit with me. You know what I mean?
Give us your happy and sad foots. How are you feeling about being so wrong about this team season being over?
I mean, guys, it's over. We just had a good game.
Okay.
Thank you for joining the show.
You're gone.
Thank you for joining, Jeff Tuck, as always. We love having
right
you
up
on.
Top, Jeff. Jeff, wow. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to bring him back on.
Bringing him back on is so funny.
Jeff. One
Jeff
more chance
just been
to make it
out
right.
Of time out.
All right, so I'm gonna pull over because this actually is incredibly dangerous. I didn't realize how bad this was until I started trying to do it. So you see this right hand come down and put my car in park. So my happy foot obviously is that the Galaxy lost and we won, right? And like, as much as I want to be a heel and a downer, like, it's great. Like, it's really enjoyable. I walked in there very nervous. And we beat the Galaxy, and I fucking hate the Galaxy. Probably, like, honestly, like, I have to work to love the LAFC more than I hate the Galaxy. And that's, like, a personal issue that I have, right? You know what I mean?
That's on brand.
Also on brand. Yeah. I have a deep reservoir of rage within me that I can bring out at any time. And it's really healthy for all my interpersonal relationships, too. So my sad foot is that you guys keep saying Berea tacos, like honkies. It's Berea. You put out a whole video that had Berea tacos in it. Like, No, we're in Los Angeles. We are a Mexican-American team. It's Birria Tacos, gentlemen. It's very easy, very simple.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff.
Why, you motherfuckers.
All right, thank you so much. I couldn't hear what he said at the end. I didn't really catch it.
He said, make sure you get some Birria Tacos.
I think so.
That's how we've always pronounced it, Jeff. I think maybe you misheard.
I would have never guessed that my pronunciation of any Spanish word is correct. So
I can't believe it.
That does not surprise me at all. Wow. What a call. An all-timer. We have another caller on the line. Daniel's joining us on the show. We're getting some echo. Am I turning your volume down?
What are we, 90s call-in? Is this Love Line?
Well, normally we've got three different levels of producers who brief callers when they call in before they get to the show. We have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. We have a really big team behind us. But tonight, some things kind of fell through the cracks.
Don't you kind of miss the old, hey, can you turn your radio down? Can you turn your radio down?
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore.
I watched a clip on TikTok of Fred Durst on Love Line, and it was very fun.
Wow. Huh.
He didn't say anything.
That's something.
It's just before Dr. Drew became an anti-vaxxer.
Sure. So it's allowed to like a clip nostalgically.
Somehow Dr. Drew became the worst one of him and Adam Carolla. I would have never seen that come.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. I had never thought about that.
Guy that hates weed as much as Dr. Drew does. You could tell. You could have seen it coming, right? Dr.
Drew does. We're still getting echoed. Daniel, are you able to switch your... Or let me see what I got here.
Sorry, Dan. We can't have you. That was a bit much. Thanks for calling in, but we couldn't do that.
Yeah, if we can get the tech worked out, try again.
Travis, did Loveline come out before you were born? Jason, this is why you're my favorite fan.
Wow.
This is why you're my favorite.
Travis is 29 years old.
I'm 29 years old.
Which means I'm also 29 years old.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I guess
Gen Z cusp, I like to say.
Yes.
You can tell from the deep circles under my eyes that I'm 29 years old.
Well,
To the point of, to get back to actually talking about the game, which I feel like we haven't done in a while.
Yeah, past 15 minutes, I feel like.
To the point of where we're at in the season, I said this on the previous show, but I think the thing that can forgive all of the ups and downs of the season is getting hot at the right time right at the end here. And this game could have catapulted us to that. Also, we've had a lot of issues with where the team was at with all the players coming in and feeling kind of weak, like challenging our own depth. Tonight, when we had subs, it was for the first time in a long time to me, it felt like we weren't trying to fix a problem. We were like showing off actual depth. And it felt like we had actual depth and we were seeing it. And I can't remember the last game where it felt that way. It was like, yeah, everyone's playing well. Here's some other guys. They're going to play well too. Like, what do you need us to do? We've got it. Everything's covered.
It was nice to have another game where you looked at that player availability report and it was empty. That's always a good
sign. All empty.
But yeah, it's like you said, we debated on how long you're supposed to give these players in until we're like going to say they're bust or whatever. And with Kike, like we said, he just looks that much more comfortable. I think Mario's probably not stoked that he didn't start, but hey, he comes in, he gets an assist, he does a lot of defensive work. There was moments where I think Bwong was, dude, I'm just gassed, please go and be that guy out in the wing, and he did it. So I think those are all pluses. I agree with you, Darren. This is one of those where like it's greater than the sum of the parts of a win, because it's really going to have an after effect. I would hope. I mean, look, we have a really tough week coming up with two very difficult away games, but this is one of those where you have to say, like, that's our biggest rival. While we were in the depths of one of our worst losing streaks and just looking our worst, we actually closed out a game, not just closed out a game, it held them from getting that third goal, but we found our fourth goal. Like, everything you would have wanted in that game, you really got from LAFC. So I really hope that that buoys them and not just them as a team, but individually too. There was a lot of guys where Mario did a good thing. I think Tillman, we got to point out, like, Timmy needed that goal probably more than anything. So I really, really hope that he goes from there and plays that much better and it becomes himself again, because we haven't seen the same Timmy Tillman probably for 3 months.
That's true. Remember how excited we all were when he first came onto the team and we were like, where's this guy been? He was amazing. Sure. It's been real up and down.
And I love Timmy, and he's a very good player. But then, like, when people say stuff like that, then you start to think, well, it is a guy that had bounced between Bundesliga 1 and Bundesliga 2. It kind of makes sense with the type. So, like, it's something that he's going to have to get past in his own career. So hopefully this is another learning lesson, and he goes on to be an incredible player for the next 10 years.
So, Vince, I have a question, because you're the smart one. Bogusz seemed to be playing well when he came out of the game for Tillman. What do you think Tillman brings that Bogusz didn't have that Dolo wanted to bring in?
I think it was solely fresh legs. I don't think it was any kind of like deficit on Bogusz. Bogusz did a lot of work, both defensively and offensively. And I think Steve just thinks, hey, I can get some fresh legs, who also is a pretty silky guy on the ball. He can pass a little bit. He can dribble. He can do the things Bogusz does, maybe not as explosively as Bogusz. But so there's not really a drop off in what their skill set is, but he's fresh. And I think in that moment, you just needed an injection of something different. And it was the right time to make that move.
I was nervous about it.
No, sure. But that's always the risk.
You were the best looking guys on the field.
Hold on quickly. I want to show you Hollingshead in this press conference with a small child. I think it's a child he's related to, but maybe it's just a boy he found.
Yeah, unconfirmed.
It's possible it's just a boy he found.
I've been in those halls. There are little kids just wandering them all the time. It's one of the dark secrets of BMO Stadium.
I'm gonna aggregate that.
All right, we're gonna try one more time with Daniel.
Hey, folks.
Hey, Daniel.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. First of all, happy foot. Great win tonight. It was a fun game to watch. Second, happy foot. Maxime Crépeau is back. Thank God. I was there for the cup final in the North End, and it was literal insanity when he really ran out and broke and shattered his leg into pieces. That was an intense day. I still have my hat. It's still with the ash over my cap and all the smoke. But I do have a couple sad bits. I'm probably going to end up being kind of like Jeff talk tonight. I'm going to be a little bit of a heel. First, the sad bit of the night. I did not like how we let the Galaxy back in the game. It was frustrating. What the fuck? Very LAFC of them. It's like, no, guys, when we score, we don't let them back in the game. And that happened twice tonight. Part of it
felt like crap. When they came back and scored right away, it felt like early traffic goes where we could do nothing to stop them.
Yes. It's typical LA Galaxy. For some reason, when they play against us, it's like life and death to them. It's kind of like the Boston Juniors and River Plate down in Argentina. But, oh, well. Second stat, but this is where I'm going to take my heel turn. Despite this good win, it was a fun game. But I know, Jeff, I'm not a genius, but I don't think we're going to win MLS Cup. It's just we played too many games this year. We're tired. I could still feel that sometimes in games. And we've lost too many big games to count. I think it's going to be an Eastern Conference team this season. It's going to be a dark horse. I'm going to be the first to admit, I'm not familiar with a lot of MLS teams outside of LAFC, but I could see a team like Philly being a dark horse, come back to the final and win this season. But I don't know. It's just like this year, like my gut feeling is I think we're just going to fall short. We're just going to fall short.
I think that's a fair way. LA fans have a desire to win every game at all times, and I feel like Vince sometimes reacts to that of like, why are we acting so dramatically after a couple of losses? Most teams lose, and most you're like, what is it? How many teams are in the league right now? 29. That means 28 teams are not going to win MLS Cup. I also like there's teams playing really great soccer. I think Nashville. Secret, like if Miami doesn't sneak into the playoffs, Nashville looks really good out east, and I would not put it past them to win MLS Cup this year. I don't know. It's going to be a tough campaign. We're right now second, and I do want to say a happy foot that we haven't said. The Galaxy have been fighting to make it into the playoffs. They are now 5 points out of the playoffs, and they don't have any games in hand. Oh, no, wait, they do. They do have a game in hand. But
well, their next game is Minnesota. That's a huge game for them. They have to win that game. They have Minnesota at home. Minnesota's just hovering around that line. Like if the Galaxy lose that game, they can probably pack it in.
That's like that's the team that Jeff Tuck thinks we are.
Daniel, thank you for joining us as always. I think that was less heel, more levity. We love it.
I mean, I'm not expecting. I mean, that was the.
Can I ask a question though?
Yeah, go ahead.
Not to be a dick. But when you say, like, we've lost too many big games, so does this one not count as a big game?
Because
the Galaxy doesn't.
That doesn't make me wrong about the games from earlier.
I'm just saying. this is a big game.
I should say it out loud. But we delivered in this very big game. I would never try to argue that this was not a big game. It doesn't like
every
count,
MLS team right. has lost big games this year. Inter Miami went to Atlanta
without Messi.
They were winning. They lost 5-2. But that's, like, that's a big
like saying
game for
that
them.
We lost a big game in U.S. Open Cup.
Like, wait, but we lost to Portland, and people were like, we shouldn't be losing to Portland. There's no Denny Bwong on our team. And then when I say, hey, you take the best player off any team, how good are they going to be? And they're like, oh, but Vince, come on.
I would say Bogusz is the best player in LAFC, but we're not ready for that conversation.
I would say you're not. Absolutely wrong. How dare you?
We're not ready. We're not ready.
He's not there yet. Don't you put that on him.
I'm ready to leave my wife for Bogusz as well. That's the thing.
Wow.
The list.
The floodgates are opening.
Yeah. Any other happy foots or sad foots in the chat that we want to? Joey says that was the fiercest thing he's heard me say. I love Bwanga.
Stuff in the chat.
Know, I'm falling in love with Bogusz. It's nice to fall in love. Micah Gutierrez says Kellen nearly fighting Galaxy players after the game. Kellen,
oh yeah, did you not see that at the game?
That was on broadcast.
That was unclear because they sort of made up in a way that was like, I couldn't tell if maybe it wasn't serious from the beginning.
Well, no, Fagundes was the trying to be the peacemaker. It was Aude. So what happened was, and this was actually just supreme shithousery, Bwanga gets there in the corner, and you know that like they're just going to blow it, right? So Bwanga and Gonzalez are standing there, and Bwanga's like, look, they're not 10 yards away from me. I don't have to do anything. And so the referee's like, okay, guys, you know the rules. You got to get 10 yards back. And finally they did. And then he walks up to it and he fakes the corner and he goes, ah, they're not 10 yards. And the assistant referee is like, are you fucking kidding me? Just put the ball in play because we're going to call the game. And when he did, Aude was like, why the fuck? Why would you do that? You knew the game was over. And Bwanga was like, dude, we won the game. Chat your shit. Like, you lost. Like, get out of here. He's like, I do whatever I want, bro. But it was pretty funny. And Kellen was just like, you don't talk to my man like that to Aude. And he was heated, but Fagundes stepped in. I think if you are going to pick a fight with somebody, one, make sure it's not Kellen Acosta. Two,
yeah, that seems like a good rule.
Probably don't do it where there's 3,000 of our most diehard fans within about 20 feet of you. Maybe make sure you get in a fight in the middle of the field where they can't just get at you.
Yeah, that seemed like an extremely sound and precise translation of exactly what occurred on the field. That was impressive, Vince.
Yeah.
We actually have a more caller here. Zaya.
Yo, hello, can you guys hear me?
Muted. Yeah,
we can hear you.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm a big fan of the podcast and stuff like that. So first time calling.
Thank you so much.
And it was a good win, you know. There was at times where the game got really ugly and it was like, but that's like what's expected with this fixture, you know.
For sure.
It's like ugly goals and stuff like that come along with it. But when it really came down to it, you know, Bwanga looked like he was confident again after the Miami game. And, you know, I'd say Kike Oliveira. He looked really good against Edwards. Edwards couldn't really hold his ground over there. And
Edwards got booed every time he touched the ball. It was great. Any happy foots or sad foots you want to throw into the mix? I mean, you just said a couple.
Yeah. So, I mean,
that's true.
I guess happy foot would be Oliveira and Bwanga. Sad foot would be, I would say, probably Vela's involvement in the game. There was at times where he kind of like, he dropped in the midfield and he was looking to pick up the ball, kind of like how Puig does. But was at times where we just kind of forced it out wide to Palacios. And I mean, it worked, but you want to see Vela get more involved, you know? So stuff like
that. Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
That's a good point. We haven't touched on that at all. Vince, do you think that was Vela doing like good, solid behind the scenes work and it was just kind of quiet, or was he as much of a non-factor as it seemed?
He definitely trailed off in the game. Like, he started out the little like false nine-ish things he was doing early on were good. Obviously, he helps move the ball out wide to Cheeky, which gets the goal from Bwanga. That was good. And he had a couple of other times where he stepped away from his defender and was able to be an outlet. But then later in the game, it's almost like he was just rushed and hurried. Like, there's just bad passes. He made one pass late in the first half where he tried to send it across field and like, sometimes you can hit that pass, and look, Vela can hit that pass, but it's like, don't do that in this game. Like, you're just asking for trouble. And luckily they were able to snuff it out for him. But yeah, he was hit or miss. I will 100% agree. He was definitely hit or miss in this game.
Well, thanks so much for calling in, man. Please call in again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Thanks for listening.
Touched on that.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like we got through it. Andrew, any happy foots or sad foots we're missing?
I really liked learning about the pigeon. Travis was telling me about the pigeon.
Did you guys see the pigeon on the stick?
Like a guy who was getting huge cheers for the holding
up. Oh, no. That was on the broadcast.
And this is going back to the RSL game, right?
Where we won 7-1. It was
back onto the show so he can tell us how to pronounce Juarez.
No, I think you got that one.
No, okay. But I really want to make sure we get it from him. It's fun because we can see him still. He's still there, but he's I refuse to bring him up.
Oh, he's giving us the finger. He was fully right too, and I'm glad that he did correct us.
He is fully right, but if we continue to go to him for our pronunciations of
That's also a problem. It's
Spanish
almost problematic
and Mexican things. It's like going to Rick Bayless to get all your tacos.
We're gonna watch him get in a horrific crash while he's flipping us off.
Terrible. I hate being able to see this.
So there was a guy on the screen. There were multiple people. They're passing around the pigeon on the stick. Got the got, I would say, as big of applause at the stadium as the shirtless child in the sombrero, who is now at the front of the 3252. He's no longer in a seat. He is now in the front row of the.
Does he have an agent yet? Should we see?
We should sign him. He's on
the pod. Show.
Yeah.
That was my happy foot. Sad foot, I don't know. The Galaxy goals both seem preventable. But what are you going to do? But that was kind of my only sad foot.
Well, let's and I know that like multiple people brought up, it's frustrating that we let the Galaxy back in the game. The first place team in the West, St. Louis, was 2-0 up on them last weekend and also let them. Like, this is what the Galaxy does. Like, they play poorly and then they just throw everything at you. And they do it more so even against us. So I would say I would take a bigger victory from the fact that like we faced adversity and we didn't shit the bet. That's, I think, a bigger point than the fact that they were able to come back, because this is just what they do. They're not a good team.
They also looked, you know, I know we didn't win at the Rose Bowl. They looked like a better team than when we played them at the Rose Bowl.
For sure.
Like Sharp is great. Fagundes is great. Puig is like playing, you know, watching Puig was the best player on the field. Even though they lost, like it's crazy. Like, he plays so quick and he makes little moves. Like, you have to give it to him that he's an unbelievable player and probably should be in the MVP race if the team wasn't so bad and their beginning also, of the season wasn't so bad.
But also, fuck the guy. He sucks.
He also, and I hope he gets a bigger wedgie than last night.
Oh, on that subject, I've kept this comment on for far too long, but I'm proud of it. Spencer Porter says Ricky Pooch's shorts are too long. They look like basketball shorts. We need to talk about this. Thank you. And I fully agree with that. I hadn't been able to pinpoint it with that accuracy about what exactly it was that looked so off, and that's what it is.
Soccer shorts have gotten too long. I think we've hit peak soccer shorts. I mean, and Ricky is also 5 foot nothing. So
I was going to say they don't have children's sizes.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
I'm sure the kit manager is like, well, I've got this youth large, Ricky. He's like, I'm a man. I'm a grown boy. Yeah.
I'm 5'8".
Yeah.
what do we call this part of the show?
I'm 5'11".
Like garbage time, I feel like, where this is like, I'm pulling these comments now.
Well, yeah. I was going to lead with this and we were having a good conversation. So Andrew Bauer points out that the curse is broken. Darren is no longer allowed to go to the game. He's
that causes that's part of the comments.
I don't know, Darren. Last game you were at was against Miami. It was pretty rough. And now I'm here alone and we won a pretty
game. You were also at that game, as was and everyone in the entire universe.
I didn't get alone
in the same seats as he normally does, right? So maybe still kind of messed that up, Travis, by allowing him to be there and not sit in his crazy
I was wandering.
Place.
I was just wandering aimlessly. I had nowhere to go. Uncentered.
Pay for your own seats. All right. If that's all I'm saying.
Totally fair.
I just want to point out a great joke that Andrew just made, which is that I said I was here alone, and quietly under his breath he goes, "Alone."
Right.
I'm in the frame. Wow. That should be the title of the episode.
I'm in the frame. Man.
Yeah, hard to dispute it. It's hard to dispute that Andrew Porter is right there.
It just goes to show you the permanence that Travis has in his mind. If he can't see you, literally don't exist.
Yeah.
I just feel like we needed this win so bad. It felt great. I feel like we just looked like the better team from beginning to end. I feel great. We're in the regular season this year against the Galaxy, 2-1, which is good for us historically. By the end of the season, we normally have a draw. We normally don't get. We've gained now a game on them in the regular season standings. That U.S. Open Cup game will always have an asterisk by it. And I don't know, man. We're better than them this year. They look good. I think they might still pull it out and make it to the playoffs, but we're able to shut them down. I feel like for all the shit that we give this team, because it's frustrating when we go on these losing streaks and be inconsistent, we need to at least acknowledge I don't think there was a player on the field tonight that didn't really, really want to win this game. And the team that showed up is the team we needed to show up. And I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
We're not topping that. That's,
we got it. Yeah. That's how we should end on this one.
We got very earnest, Travis. That was like kind of scary for a second there.
Also, fuck Jeff Talk.
There we go.
He's back. Jeff, anything you want to add? You're back on.
Thanks, Jeff, for coming on. Thanks as always. It's true that we shit on the team. We go hard into the darkness of after a single loss.
This podcast is about emotion.
Yeah, and so we should really, you know, let's relish this win when it comes to it. This is great. I had fun tonight.
Anything else you guys want to add before we wrap this up? Please, if you want to help us keep making this, become a friend of the foot by going to patreon.com/happyfootsadfoot. If you're watching on YouTube right now, please thumbs up and subscribe. That helps a ton. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Anything you guys want to leave us off with?
That's it. We'll see you pretty soon. We got two more matches coming up real quick.
We love you. Keep watching,
keep listening. I love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Love you. Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.